Welcome to the Business Vitality Podcast. My name is Catherine Canty. I am the host and an executive coach. I work with teams, individuals, and leaders to help create measured leadership change. We do that using practical applications, and our clients are creating 100% measured results as seen by those around them. Not necessarily what I think or what they think, but what the other people are seeing. And they are being recognized for the hard work that they're doing. If you're interested in learning more about some of the work that we're doing, you can learn more at CatherineCanty.com. I would love for you to subscribe to this show, to Business Vitality. This is my way to continue to pay it forward and share business best practices. Stay tuned and listen to the interview. Thanks for being here. Bradley Jacob, you are the founder and CEO of MyLance, found on the web at mylance.co. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Tell me a little bit high level about MyLance and how did this all become?
MyLance was born out of my own independent consulting journey. After Uber, I was wanting to go out on my own, but didn't know exactly what I wanted to do yet. And I really kind of fell into consulting and it blew me away about the money I could make and working part-time. It was fun to be the expert in the room helping these startups. And so saw this way of life that I really didn't know existed, and then saw the opportunity really that so many people were either already doing this or wanted to do it. And so MyLance was born out of a passion to really support these people working part-time, commanding their own rates, choosing their own clients, but not really being set up for success, whether it's finding new clients or all the back-end tools they need, bookkeeping, invoicing, admin, everything. And so now we've really specialized in helping independent consultants, fractional executives, small business owners find new clients more sustainably. And we specifically focus on LinkedIn.
Talk about LinkedIn. I'm curious. We've all heard of it. We've all been on it. We all have opinions about it, but tell me how you leverage LinkedIn.
I mean, your customer is on LinkedIn. It's just, they're there, right? And they might be scrolling, they might be posting jobs, they might be just looking for news, but they're there. And a lot of LinkedIn is, you know, gets a bad rap for being this kind of clickbaity or spammy or people posting random stuff, but it doesn't matter what everybody else is posting. When you are posting genuine, authentic, value add content, right? What can I give? What can I give? What can I give? Over time, you end up building a relationship with the people that follow you. And you end up growing the awareness of people that haven't followed you yet. And so what ends up happening is you build this one-to-many relationship by showing up a few times a week from a content perspective, and it's basically free. I mean, yes, it's your time, but you can add new connections every week that are in your ideal customer. You can publish content, and you can really build this relationship. So by the time you get on a call with them, they know you. They know who you are. They know what you stand for. They know how you help people. And it's almost like you're talking to a referral at that point. Like, it's not a cold inbound. I haven't had to introduce myself on a call in like 2.5 years. And you just can't buy that, right? It's like, if you're not posting on LinkedIn, I don't know how to help you. I'm like, how are you not? Like, it's just, it's so, it's to me, it's such low hanging fruit. And I know there's questions of what do I post and how do I make it consistent and the accountability. So we built a tool to help with that. But I've been posting every day for 5 years and it's been life-changing for me.
So if somebody's new, I mean, they know, I've read a stat somewhere not that long ago that, you know, there's a lot of people on LinkedIn, but not a lot of people engaged in LinkedIn consistently. So if someone actually wanted to, I'm a big proponent of just creating small steps and creating that momentum. And I also love an MVP, a minimal viable product or solution. Like, what is the bare minimum for somebody who is, you know, just the stalker on LinkedIn and they're just kind of, you know, just checking it periodically, but they actually want to get engaged? Like, what do you think is a good MVP to get started with LinkedIn?
Yeah, I'll do like super bare minimum and then I'll do like maybe one step past that.
Okay.
Super bare minimum is tell a story. Just share an experience you had at a past company where you learned something, added value, accomplished a goal, whatever it is. Right, I could tell the story of when we launched Uber in Raleigh and we were competing against Lyft and what did we learn and what mistakes did we make? Like, interesting story. All I'm doing is telling a story, right? There's no call to action. There's no, please hire me. There's no, you know, it's not fancy. Just tell a story. And from the first person, right? Not you should do this. This is what I did.
Right.
So lowest hanging fruit, easiest MVP. It's like even before the MVP, just go tell a story and then tell another and tell another and tell another. The next level up from that would be write one sentence. Who's my customer? What are their pain points? How do I solve these pain points? Literally one sentence for each. This whole exercise could take you 10 minutes. Who's my customer? What are their pain points? What's my unique value add? And then from there, how can I tell stories or learnings, mistakes, wins, everything that hit on my customer's pain point? So it's the same idea of telling the story or a case study or an interesting tidbit or whatever it is, what I learned. But you're more tailoring it to who your customer is so that when you're building trust, what I talked about earlier, you're building trust with the right people. I mean, that's what it ends up. If you write a post and you get tons of engagement, but it's not validating you and it's not with the right people, it doesn't really matter. Like people always chase the likes and stuff, but you know, if it's from the wrong people, it doesn't matter.
Okay. So short story. Or the short answer is be able to tell a story without a call to action. So just put something out there that you've learned, spoken from the I, not from you need to do, but it's from an I standpoint. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like just break in there and just tell a story. And then the other thing you said was, you know, I like the simplicity of it. I love simple stuff. But who's your customer? What's their pain point? And what's my unique value add? Think about that and be able to share stories, case studies, things like that, that kind of support that in order to build trust with the right people. Is that,
you know,
is it really that easy?
It is. People overcomplicate this. I mean, truly, like my most viral post, it got 700,000 impressions. And I told the story of Uber and Lyft in the early days of Raleigh and how we got 90%, we Uber 90% market share in 6 months. And here are the five key things we focused on that they didn't. And the post went crazy viral and I wrote the whole thing in like 10 minutes. I mean, I was like, I had no idea, but it's an interesting inside look into a winning story told from the I point of view. And it makes it interesting. That's as simple. It really can be as simple as that.
Okay. So how many followers did you have? If you had 700,000 and it went viral that viewed it, do you already have like buckets of followers?
This was a few years ago. I'm at 24,000 now. I think I probably had half that, let's say maybe 12,000. So yeah, I had some followers already, but you don't need that for these posts to do well. And also most of your posts are not going to go viral. I shouldn't even emphasize that. Like, you know, if each of your posts gets a few hundred or even 1,000 or 2,000 impressions and you're posting a few times a week, it's like most independent consultants, fractional executive, even founders, if you're doing B2B, you know, how many customers do you really expect to get from an organic channel every week, right? So if you're getting a few thousand impressions on genuine value-added content and you get a few of those trickle into your funnel every single day, every week, like you're doing a pretty good job.
All right. So talk about the funnel piece. You just mentioned putting them into the funnel. So talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, LinkedIn's awareness and trust. You need a way to get them into your orbit, you want to say, right? So I like to think of it, let's keep it simple. I want something where I can give you something for free and get your information, because LinkedIn is great, but you really want their email, right? So what can I give you for free that's in my area of expertise that's a value add to you? Could be as simple as a newsletter. That's like the most common, easy one. It could also be, you know, I'm going to give you a free audit on your website if I'm a marketing expert, or, you know, for us, we do a LinkedIn audit. Like I'm going to audit your LinkedIn profile. So it's a quick, easy, you know, we use a lot of AI tools for that to make it simple on our end as well. But okay. So whatever you choose to give away for free, give away something for free in exchange for their email. Don't spam them, right? Like deliver the thing that you said you were going to deliver. And then you have an opportunity to introduce value, whether it's yourself or your product. Say, are you interested in this? If not, no worries. I'll just send you my newsletter. If you are, I'll tell you more about it. And then there's a product page or something like that. But you just have to give them a way to get in touch with you. Now, if you really want simple, the simplest way is, here's my Calendly. I'll give you a free consult, right? Depending on what your business is, a free coaching call, a free strategy call, whatever it is, just give away something for free and just have it linked in your LinkedIn. People are just going to book calls with you, and you have like sales calls just show up on your calendar. If you look at your LinkedIn profile, most people are getting, even doing very little, dozens, hundreds of visits on their profile a week. It's like those are just leads ready to come in. So just give them an opportunity to get in touch with you. Like, make it really simple.
How do you pre-screen it? Because at some point you begin to get a lot of people that reach out and they're pitching you rather than trying to help, and the roles get reversed. So how do you pre-screen some of those just to make sure that, you know, that it's the best use of everybody's time and not just they're calling you to pitch?
Yeah. Good question. So I like to ask questions in the Calendly, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, who are you? Or specifically I'll ask, you know, if we have a paid product, what's your willingness to pay to solve this problem, right? $0, $50, $100, $1,000, like just ask straight up, like, do you have a budget mm-hmm. for this? You can ask, what are you trying to get out of this call? Like, what are you hoping to get out of it? I always ask that. And then you can basically go look and you can cancel meetings, right? Like, if you're at the point where you're having too many people book or they're just trying to sell you, you can very politely say, like, this was not a call to be sold to. Happy to chat another time if my offer makes sense down the road. You know, it's like they know, people know what they're doing if they're doing that. And so I have my VA look at everything. So if you have a VA, you can just have them screen and make sure you're set up for, you know, using your time well. Or you can just look at it yourself if you don't.
Yeah. Well, they sneak in there every once in a while. So
they I'm do. Always wondering. I have people just throw events on my calendar. And I'm just mm-hmm. like, this is so inappropriate. It is beyond me. I just delete them right away. I'm like, you can ask my permission. I can say yes or no, but don't just throw an invite on anyone's calendar. I mean, that's poor form.
Yeah. It grows to be a little frustrating and mm-hmm. makes it hard. So what other, I guess, strategies or ideas do you have for these professionals that are wanting to find those aligned clients on LinkedIn? Any other ideas or any other kind of thoughts, ideas around that?
Yeah, I mean, content is not enough in and of itself. And so I tell people, you need to be adding new connections every single day. At minimum every week, right? You can add, depending on your social selling index on LinkedIn, you can add about 100 new connections every week. So it's 400 mm-hmm. a month. And LinkedIn is the only social media platform that I know of that when you add someone and they accept it, they're automatically following you back. Right? Instagram, I have to follow you and then you follow me back.
Yeah.
LinkedIn, it's automatic. So you have to be growing your network every single day, every week with the right people. Like, be thoughtful in who you're adding. So, mm-hmm. and it's kind of this beautiful 1-2 punch of where you're adding new people that you want to be clients. And then you're creating content that builds that trust, builds awareness, builds that relationship. And you're kind of, you know, growing, building trust. Like, I have 24,000 followers. My guess is I have added over the last 5 years, 90% of those myself. Those aren't people searching Bradley or just like randomly showing up in their feed. I mean, some of them are, but the majority of them, I'm going in and saying, hey, I want to connect with you because you're in my ideal audience and I can add value to you. So add new connections, create the content, and then see who's engaging with your content. Right? The people that are liking, the people that are commenting, I mean, spend like an hour a week just combing through those people, seeing who's a potentially good fit and reaching out. Hey, nothing like the truth. I saw you comment on my post. We'd love to chat and see if there's an opportunity to support each other. Right? You send like 7 to 10 of those a week, you're going to get a few sales calls from it. So very quickly, with very little effort, we had a guest on our podcast. Her pipeline is $1.4 million of value in the pipeline in mm-hmm. 4 months of only these strategies. That's it. That's all she's done. She's created content. She's added new connections and she's engaged with the people who have engaged with her. That's it.
So are you using any kind of AI or anything or scheduler to be able to post some of the stuff on LinkedIn, or what have you found to be helpful in that aspect?
I frankly built my own tool that I wanted. And so basically what it does is it uses your ideal customer and all the information we talked about. We do it a little bit more robust way than the simple version mm-hmm. you asked for, but it's the same idea.
Right.
It's building a content calendar. It's like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, post this, 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 and this, and this. And it gives the prompts. Basically, it's like, tell this story, share this experience, whatever it is. And then I'll have the AI draft the post using usually a transcript that I've already recorded. So like from our podcast, I have all of my language. So it's using already my voice. It's not making up its own voice. And then I'll go in and I'll fine tune it. I'll finish it. I like never post a just AI generated, even if it's using my transcript. And then I schedule them out. Yeah. So I'll just schedule them out for the whole week and then on Monday and not worry about it. So yeah, scheduling tool. I use our own tool for the content generation, which is the prompts, AI drafting. And then we have an analytics piece in there that's looking at what's working and what's not working. So it'd be like, tell more stories like this or tell them in this fashion, tell less of this. This isn't working as well, you know, length, all those kinds of things.
So are there, for that type of service, are there, since I'm going to go back to like an MVP type thing, is there an MVP trial period to see if those metrics improve or stay the same versus the current process that's been in place for a while?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, the answer is no. And partially because we need to get, for our prompts to be really great for you, we need to know who's your customer, what are their pain points, what's your unique value add. And so we put in quite a bit of effort up front. Like we do a whole positioning exercise with every customer. And we don't charge extra for that. That's just like wrapped into the first month. And so if someone comes in for a month, pays for it, gets their positioning exercise, and then doesn't like the product, they've still gotten, frankly, way more value than the first month costs. So they could, yeah, they could cancel at that point. Like we don't sign people into long contracts or anything. But the answer is no. Like we do that work up front, so we get paid for that work. It's not expensive, but you know, we charge something for it. And you know, we've never had anyone leave in the first month anyway. But they could theoretically.
Tell me, okay. So you mentioned that you were with Uber. You know, obviously different than working for yourself. Talk about what the biggest mindset shifts are going from that corporate life to building more of a sustainable consulting business.
I mean, there's a lot. I think there's a lot that comes up that myself and most founders have no idea is going to come up. And I'd say the biggest thing for most and myself is really the imposter thoughts of, you know, the imposter thoughts that are backed, I think, by the fear of, going out on my own, am I going to look stupid? Am I going to fail? Am I going to embarrass myself? Is everyone going to hate my product? You know, there's like an identity that can be tied to the business when it's mine. And I've been running this business for 6 years now and really been spent time untangling my identity with the business. It's like when I worked for Uber, it was obviously not my business. Like I had a little equity and I definitely felt ownership over making it amazing. But if things, you know, went to shit, for example, I'd be like, okay, it sucks, but it's not my business. There wasn't my identity tied with it. And so that feels like the biggest thing. The second thing I'd say, and people probably don't think about this a whole lot, but is structure or lack thereof. So when I worked at Uber, I had meetings, I had a manager, I had performance reviews, I had salary levels. There was so much that was in place for me to operate within. Yeah. When it's my own thing, I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. I'm not really getting feedback. I don't have like, these are your areas to improve and these are your areas you're doing well. Like it's all created by me. And so there's this kind of like existential question that I end up with. And I've worked through this a lot over the years, but when do I wake up? Like, when do I have my business reviews with myself? When do I check in with myself? When do I schedule my meeting? I can schedule my day however I want. Mm-hmm. And I tinkered with that. I was like, okay, I'm sharpest in the mornings. So I actually don't book a single meeting before noon, right? I'm like, I want my mornings to be sharp, deep focused work, moving the business forward. And then I can do my meetings in the afternoon. Once I've already done that and the day's kind of already a win. And the last thing I'll share is prioritization. Right? It's like in a bigger company, there's business meetings and you set priorities together and you spitball and you know, brainstorm. When it's me with me, I'm deciding what to work on. And when my insecurities, my fears get in the way, I could easily work on things that I'm good at, but don't move the needle. So what I do is the night before when I'm not working, I make the plan for the next day. And Sunday, I make the plan for the week. and I write down what is going to move the needle the most for the business tomorrow. And first thing in the morning, I do those things, regardless of whether I feel like it or like it or want to or anything. I do those things until before anything else happens. So I'm ensuring that like fear is not running the show. What's best for my business is running the show. And at Uber, I never had to worry about that because I wasn't really scared of anything. I just did what needed to be done.
All right. Imposter syndrome, time management, prioritization is what I hear for those three things.
I'd say the second one is a little bit more around structure. It's like creating structures that set me and the business up for success.
Okay. And then the prioritization, as you describe prioritization, reminds me of a book that Brian Tracy wrote called Eat That Frog. And it's all about like doing those hard things first, like just go ahead and be done with that mess. So then you can just have an easier rest of your day versus putting it at the end when you're already tired, have decision fatigue. You're not going to want to do it. You will come up with even more reasons about why not to do it. So yeah, the prioritization piece and just making sure that you, you know, as he says, eat that frog in the morning versus at the end of the day when you're not going to eat it. So you got to get it done.
Yeah. And I would say that we're not always going to be sharp. We're not always going to be have the energy every day. And so when I have a full day and can get everything done, great. But there's some days where I'm just not on my game and I might only get three or four things done. And this way, those needle moving activities are always getting done. Because if I only get two or three or four things done in a day, at least it's the needle moving things, like not making a business model that has no relevance to acquiring new customers or keeping new customers. It's just like, I like to do it because it makes the numbers. I can make the numbers look however I want. Like that's fun, but not really helpful for the business.
No, it's that 80-20 rule. Knock out that 80% first thing. Okay, so how can, I guess, independent consultants build a profitable business without burnout? Like burnout is inevitable if we don't proactively do something. So, you know, talk about that if you don't mind. How do you build this profitable business without the burnout?
One is you charge a lot. Like you have to charge enough. I mean, there's all these people out there that are charging like $2,000 a month for a retainer. And they're like, okay, what are your goals? And they're like, I want to make 20K a month. I was like, okay, well then you need 10 clients. Like that sounds like a recipe for burnout to me. So I'm like, okay, you have to charge enough to really make it worth your time, which means you don't charge for time. You charge for value and output, right? So that's a huge part of this. And right alongside side with that, it means you say no a lot. Because if I say yes to the underpaying client, then I'm not leaving room for the client that's really paying bills, that's really charging, you know, I'm charging what I'm worth. So that's a big, big, big part of it is saying no, being disciplined, saying yes to only the right clients that are really where you're charging enough. The second thing is you have to create systems that support your business, like as many automations as possible. Like I could not be a bigger fan of Zapier and N8N. N8N is like a fancier Zapier, but I have hundreds and hundreds of Zaps set up in my business. Like when anything happens in my business, there are Zaps that, you know, send notifications to Slack, update Airtable, send things to my VA, add people to automated email flow. Like, and it needs to be done thoughtfully, but automations on the back end of your business are just a lifesaver as far as just giving you time back. And set in mechanisms to make you aware. Like I have a Slack channel that's just notifications for me of like, this thing got sent to this person and this thing happened here in the bit. Like it just keeps me posted. And so I'm also clear when things break because things break. So that would be two is systems. That could be a VA as well. I also have a VA. My VA is amazing. He has changed my life, right? It's like organizing my emails and managing my calendar, giving me, hey, here are your meetings today. Here's the relevant links you need. Here's the context for the meetings. He drafts responses for LinkedIn messages and emails. I mean, just does so much to take time off my plate. Give me time back, I'd say. And then the third thing is the biggest one for fractionals and independent consultants is they don't have a sustainable pipeline and they don't have sustainable business development strategies because almost every single one of them, they're not B2B sales reps. They don't know sales. And so they rely on their network, word of mouth, referrals. It works until it doesn't. And then they're like, shoot, now what do I do? And there are tons of different ways that can work. And I've seen hundreds of different ways work. I have, you know, what I believe is the best, most effective is the content strategy that I talked earlier, like create content, add new connections, just spend 3 hours a week, like truly just commit to it. Even when your plate is full, like that's what I tell people. And if you can't, then hire someone that can really do it for you. But you have to be showing up in whatever business development strategy you choose. You have to do it every week, 52 weeks a year, like period, end of story. Because what ends up happening is your plate gets full, your BD strategies worked, you stopped doing them because, you know, they worked. Mm-hmm. And then 4 months down the line, a client's about to drop you and you're like, okay, I need another client. Now what? Mm-hmm. And you weren't putting in the work. They come to me all the time. They're like, okay, I need a client tomorrow. I'm like, well, go back in time 4 months and start doing marketing, because marketing is not something you just turn on and it's done. But if you've been doing it this whole time, you would probably have a list of hundreds of founders or whoever your decision maker is to email and say, hey, I'm just opening up one spot. Are you interested? Let's chat. You book 5 calls, yeah. You make a client, right? So it's just, you have to be doing that no matter what.
All right. You mentioned the VA and the, you know, if you get a right, the right VA changes your life, yes, for the better. Talk about, how did you find the VA? Did you have to train? Do they just magically show up and they already know everything and you're just like, this is great. I opened up my brain and I dumped into the VA and I didn't even have to use words because they could read my mouth or read my mind. And then you just went to lunch. Talk about your VA, because I don't think people understand how important it is.
Yeah. I've been through a number of VAs that did not work as well. And so definitely learned some hard lessons. I'd say I found my VA through an agency that focuses on Latin American talent for US-based companies. There's tons of these agencies out there. I'm happy to share mine. You can put it in the show notes. I personally want them to be on the same time zone and more fluent in English than some that I'm getting that were in different time zones, whether Philippines or elsewhere. So nothing against those. I'm sure there's amazing VAs in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. They didn't end up working for me. So mine's in Colombia. And an agency manages him, which also they support him. So if he doesn't know how to do something, a specific skill, they will teach him. That also means that he can take vacation, because I pay not just him, I pay the agency. So they're obviously taking their cut, and they give him an office to work in. They have support. So if he goes on vacation, there's someone that backfills for him, and they train him and set him up with proper internet and all that kind of, like Philippines, I had trouble with internet, right? The internet would go down all the time and she couldn't work. And it was like, this is a problem. So the infrastructure they give him is great. I also interviewed a few different people, even from this agency, and I gave them a test, like record your screen doing these 10 tasks, basic stuff, right? Like Google Drive and folders and Google Docs and Slack and whatever. But I'm not teaching you all that stuff. Either you know it or you don't. And then attitude, right? Like he is a hustler. He's a yes man. He is very positive. Those attributes, a little more intangible, but they're so important, because things in a start, especially in the startup, they change so fast, and he's going to do something and I'm going to be like, actually, I need it done totally differently. And it's not your fault. Mm-hmm. And I need someone that can just be like, I'm on it. And he is amazing about that. So, I interviewed him. I set him up for success as far as the skills. And then I take the time to train him. Like, I'm like, okay, this is the task I need done. Here's a Loom video of what it looks like. Here are the documents you need. And then when I tell them, and I think this is the biggest hack, spend 5 minutes doing it and then come back to me. Like, don't spend 3 hours, right? Spend 5 minutes and then I'll review it. And I would say now, I'd say 90% of the time it's right. At the beginning, it was, okay, we need a tweak here before you do the rest of it. So is more time up front to train him, teach him what I need done. But now I'd say, yeah, it saves me tons and tons and tons of time. And each new task I give him, he's getting faster and better. And he blows me away. He's like adding our Mylands branding to a type form I didn't even ask for. I was like, just make this type form with these questions. And it came back beautiful with our Mylands branding and all this stuff. And I was like, whoa, okay. Like far and above expectations, like amazing.
All right, you said you would mention the name. Do you mind?
Yeah, I will. It's called Assist2.
A-S-S-I-S-T.
Yeah.
And then T-O or T-W?
It's T-U. T-U. Let me get the actual spelling. Just make sure I have it right.
While you're doing that, it reminds me of when I started with my first VA, and I would just teach them what to do. And then I would just ask, I would maybe just record a video because I hate to repeat myself. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times I just record a video, I send it over to them. I'm like, can you just see if this works? And second, you know, if it makes sense, go ahead and write some SOPs to go with it. Mm. Because in the event that you're going to win the lottery or something's going to happen, I really don't want to have to reinvent the wheel. And totally. So if they can send it back and they understand it, they can do it and they know how to document it, I feel like it's a success. And then we can just continue to build on that process. So it's very similar to what I think what you're talking about.
Yeah. And I have him, he documents every single thing that he does every day in a Notion page with relevant yeah. links and everything like that. So if I'm ever not sure what happened or where things are, I go to that doc and say like, okay, he did these 20 things, whatever it is. It's ASSISTTU.com. And actually we have a deal with them. If you mention MyLance, I think you get 10% off. So
okay. Do that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. So how long, so you've got all these systems and processes in place. Like what is, I guess, for people that not everybody believes in systems and processes. So you obviously have more than one client, but probably less than a billion. So what is like a good range to be able to start building this stuff? Because people, I think there's a lot of importance in this and they're like, oh, he probably has a billion clients, so he needs this. Or describe, I guess, your business and when you think you needed to start putting some of this stuff into place.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. I started putting in a place from day one. One, I think it's fun and interesting, and I do think it's a zone of genius for me. But two, again, anything I can do to give myself time back so I can focus on the needle moving things, I'm going to. And I'll give you the simplest example in the world. I have an automation that, so I put my Fathom AI note taker in every call, right? It takes the transcript, my automation, as soon as the call ends, it triggers a zap that sends the transcript to an LLM, OpenAI, or I think I use Claude for this. And I basically, the prompt is take the transcript and write a follow-up email and put it in my drafts folder, right? So say, hey, Catherine, so great to chat with you today, just to quickly recap what we discussed and then follow up on any action items. And so what ends up happening for me is I hang up on a call and within 60 seconds, there's a draft in my inbox. It's to Catherine, creates a subject line, and it just follows up on what we talked about. Now, is it perfect? No, right? I would say it's 85%, and I spend, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes cleaning it up, and then I send a follow-up email. And it's something that I would dread sending follow-up emails. I just didn't like doing it. It was annoying, you know, pull up the email and all this stuff. And the steps skipped for me with this super simple automation. I mean, it just saves me a few minutes, 5 to 10 minutes, probably multiple times every day. Like that that really adds up. And it's the simplest thing in the world, right? My prompt at the beginning was very simple and I've made it more complex over time. So it's gets better and better and better. But the first iteration of this took 10 minutes to set up. So that time gets back, you know, in the first day. So it's like, I don't need 100 clients to have that be effective to save me time. And following up is kind of a game changer. Like it's a big deal to follow up with every person you talk to and have it take you 2 minutes.
Yep.
So I agree. That would be my answer. Is like, you can't not do this. I don't care how many clients, I don't care if you have one client. I mean, truly it's like, cause you still have calls, you're still doing networking. You still have invoices to send. You still have like project management you want to track, Notion Pay, whatever. I mean, you have stuff to track. Just make it easy on yourself.
All right. I'm trying to find, I'm looking at my notes. Have you written any books? I don't see any books written down in my notes.
Have I written any? No,
yeah.
Not yet.
I feel like you could. I mean, you've got so much information that is just pouring out that would be beneficial to anybody that is making that kind of transition or needs to just get ramped up on building that pipeline. Cause that's where it is. And the follow-up is right there too. So this is super helpful. If somebody wants to learn more about the work that you're doing, the expertise that you bring to the table, what's the best way to get in touch?
LinkedIn. As I said, I publish every day and my goal is to just give value. So come check me out on LinkedIn, Bradley Jacobs, MyLance. There's only one other Bradley Jacobs that's above me and he's in the logistics industry. So you'll find me pretty quickly. We do have a podcast ourselves and I do switch off between my own just audio podcast and then a guest. my audio ones are the same idea, just like spewing what I've learned and just trying to help people. And then mylands.co is where we have our, you know, we have a blog there with tons of resources. We have a link to our product there, of course. So, you know, come check out the website. But if you got value from this or learned something, like come ping me on LinkedIn. I love hearing from people that are like, oh, I learned one thing from your talk. Great. Like that's why I do it.
That's fantastic. Bradley Jacob, you are the founder and CEO of MyLance, found on the web at mylance.co. Thank you so much for joining us.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the episode. If you like it, please subscribe, share this episode or this show with other people around you. The greatest form of a compliment is a referral. I really appreciate them. And if you think that you want to learn more about some of the work we're doing, I encourage you to reach out to katherinecanty.com. You can schedule a call or just continue to read articles and information that we post out there. Thank you so much for being here.